Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1303. Reading just the first two verses, we'll read these verses in unison, and then we'll turn to one other verse. And shall we stand, as we always do, for the reading of the Scripture? Read with me, please. Ready? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Turn now backwards to 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, page 1224 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading the 13th verse, the last verse of the 13th chapter. We'll also read that together. Let's read, please. Ready? And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Father, we're so happy to be here. This is the best place in the world to be, as far as some of us are concerned. And we love thee, we love our preacher, we love this church, we love the church family. Thank you for sending us some visitors. We pray that you'd help them to feel at home. We pray, too, that you'd help that together, whether member or visitor, we'd give our attention to the Word of God as it's preached. Touch our hearts and help us to be better for having come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Those of you who are going back to school this fall, you will appreciate the title of my sermon. It's called How to Get a Good Report Card. This is not a testimony. But I want to speak to you. I meant to give Brother Colson one of the passages to read a while ago. I gave him the two of the three. But I want to read a passage to you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. That means a good report card. In other words, some kind of a written report to tell them how well they had done. I hope you'll listen carefully this morning. You know, we casually sit and talk. I saw two or three pairs of people talking during this special a while ago. I couldn't help but wonder if folks around you wouldn't like to hear also. I couldn't help but wonder. The choir, it's just concerning the choir. Look out and see people talking in the service. This may surprise you, but there's a purpose for all of this. And that purpose, a lot of people this morning are going to make it or not make it according to what they get here in this room. A lot of heartaches, a lot of burdens. So I want to speak this morning. I ask you to listen carefully on how to get a good report card. I called your attention in one of the passages a little while ago. Now by the faith, hope. Notice the order there. Didn't say hope and faith. No, about a faith and hope. And then our scripture I read just a moment ago, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Once again, faith first and hope second. I trust you listen very carefully. Father, I am here this morning because I want to be a blessing to the people. Of course, our own dear people. People who live, as all of us do, in a veil of tears, heartaches and sorrows and problems. Help me today to be used of God to feed and help and encourage our own people. And then those who are sharing with us as our guests this morning, may they leave feeling like they've been to church, and may they be strengthened and helped because they've come. Spirit of God, use this little piece of clay for the next few minutes, please. Amen. In order to get to our destination this morning, we will have to travel a well-worn road that we have oft traveled in our teaching on Wednesday night and often, occasionally, in our sermons on Sunday. It says in our verse I read a while ago, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, the word elders there means forefathers. In fact, in chapter 11, you have a list of many of those forefathers. He's saying it was this way that Abraham obtained a good report card. It was this way that Moses got a satisfactory report card. It was this way that Joshua got a good report card. It's this way that Joseph got a good report card. Our elders obtained a good report, or, if you please, they made an A on the report card. How was it? It was by faith. Now, we're going to travel down, as I said a while ago, an oft-traveled road to get to somewhat of a new destination. So let's take off on that little road just for a moment. What is faith? You've heard me say this again and again and again. I think faith is composed of three ingredients. Number one, faith is composed of belief. Number two, faith is composed of doubt. There is no real faith unless that faith has an ingredient of doubt within it. Number three, faith is composed of belief. It is composed of doubt, but it is composed on our acting on the belief. For you heard this again and again. How a couple decides to come to Hiles Anderson College, and they live in a distant state somewhere. And they know that God has led them to come to Hiles Anderson College, just as God leads every 18-year-old and above to come to Hiles Anderson College, and a few obey the will of God for their lives. But here's a couple, and they're going to come to Hiles Anderson College, and there are dozens of you like this sitting in this room this morning, or will be here tonight. And so you say, I believe that God is going to supply our needs. But you'll have to be honest that you're going to be a little bit surprised when God does supply your need. Anybody here ever pray for something, believe you're going to get it, be shocked to death when you got it? Raise your hand, would you please? And I have too, because I'm human. And there is always in faith an element of doubt. So we're going to Mrs. House, and I went off to college back in 1834 and went off to college. And we had $40 in our pocket. That's all we had. Her father gave it to us, and that's all we had, $40. We paid $37.50 for an apartment at 2007 North Franklin Street in Marshall, Texas. Went down to Piggly Wiggly grocery store and bought $2.50 worth of groceries, and we didn't have one single dime, not one dime. I enrolled in East Texas Baptist College, and the vice president was enrolling me, and he said, Mr. Hiles, how do you intend to pay? And I said, I intend to pay cash. He said, when can you pay? I said, within 7 days, I'll pay cash. Oh, he said, is that right? How do you know you're going to pay cash? I said, I'll get paid a week from today. He said, where do you work? I said, don't have a job yet. But I believe that God was going to, and some of you folks are grinning because that's where you are right now. And I'm crying because I need your tuition desperately. Faith is believing that God is going to supply our need. But faith also is doubting that God will supply our need. I've often said that preaching is one doubter talking to a bunch of doubters trying to convince all of us to believe. There is always doubt involved in faith. For example, that man came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 17 and in Mark chapter 9. Jesus had been upon the Mount of Transfiguration. And while he was there, a man was down here with a son that was possessed of a demon and did all kinds of demonic things. And the man came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I talked to your disciples while you were gone, and they couldn't do anything. Would you do something? Could you help my son? And Jesus said, now get this, if thou believest, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the fellow said, Lord, I believe. And then he said, help thou mine unbelief. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, I believe and I doubt. Now then, what was the faith? The faith was coming to Jesus and asking Jesus to heal his son. And in response to that faith, Jesus healed his son. I say it again, don't feel timid or ashamed if you doubt when you believe, because it is not, a doubt is always a part of faith. You believe and then you doubt, but faith is an active word. You, by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Moses crossed the Red Sea. And by faith, Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. So there's always that element of doubt in faith. You recall the story of the group in praying for Peter. Peter was in jail, and they had a prayer meeting in the church and prayed for God to get their preacher out of jail. I've often wondered if you'd prayed the same prayer if I were in jail. But Peter was in jail, and they prayed for Peter to get out of jail. Now, wait a minute. God answered their prayer. And Peter was miraculously freed from jail by an angel, and he walked out the first electronic eye doors in the history of mankind and was freed from jail. Now, the same group that prayed him out of jail, when he knocked on the door and they sent little Rhoda to the door, and she said, came back and said, it's Peter, and they said, no, he's in jail. She said, no, he's at the door. They said, don't bother us. We're having a prayer meeting that our pastor will get out of jail. She said, he's out of jail. He's at the door. She said, you've seen a ghost. Now, they doubted that Peter was out of jail, but they believed and they doubted, but they went ahead and prayed, and God answered that. That's faith. You recall the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were in the fiery furnace. Well, they didn't win the fiery furnace. Before they did, they were commanded to bow down and worship the golden image. And they said, we're not going to do it. And they threatened to put them in the fire furnace. And they said, be it known unto thee, O king, our God will deliver us. But if not. They said, let me tell you something, your highness, Buster. Let me tell you something. Our God's going to deliver us from this fire furnace. We think. And in response to that faith, they were delivered. Now, this is all free territory to get where I'm going. Now then, follow me carefully. These men, please, got a good report card because of faith. Now, what is faith? I read it just a while ago. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the word substance there comes from two Greek words, which means standing under. Standing under. I'm standing on this platform. It is the substance on which I stand. Basically, don't leave it now, basically, it is the foundation. So faith is the foundation for something. Faith is the substance, something that stands under something else. So faith is the foundation for something. Now, for what is faith the foundation? You find it right here a while ago. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith, here's the message. Faith is the foundation for hope. What is hope? Hope means simply this, seeing what is not seen. Seeing what is not seen. So, actually, a dream, if you please. They said about Joseph, behold, this dreamer cometh. And Jeremiah said, he hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Now, listen carefully to me. Faith is the foundation for hope, and hope is seeing what is not seen, or if you please, hope is a dream. Summary. Follow me. Keep believing. Keep doubting. Keep going. Keep dreaming. Now, you have no right to dream if you don't have faith. Faith is the foundation for hope. And you have no right to dream unless you have faith, and faith is the foundation, and faith is believing, doubting, but acting on the belief. That means if you say, oh, Brother House, how can I get through college? How do I get through college? You get through college by believing and doubting and then working your head off to get through college and dreaming about the day you get your diploma here on this platform. So faith is the foundation for hope. Hope is dreaming, seeing that which is unseen. For example, I became a preacher before I became a preacher. Because I saw myself a preacher. I became a paratrooper before I got my wings. Because I saw myself. I saw what I could not see. I saw myself a paratrooper. I saw Howells Anderson College before there ever was a Howells Anderson College. I saw the largest Sunday school in the world here before we were in the top 10 Sunday schools in the world. I saw myself graduating before I enrolled. I saw these bus kids here before we ever ran a bus. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, have a dream. Something that you hold on to. Picture yourself out yonder. I'm not talking about personal title. I'm talking about something you're going to do for God. Now, what is the foundation? First, you believe, and then you doubt, and then you act, and then you dream. So I said again, keep believing, keep doubting, keep going, and keep dreaming. I mentioned my call to preach a while ago. When I was called to preach, I was an introvert. I flunked public speaking in high school, but I was called to preach. And they said this one thing that Jackie Moore Howells will never be able to do. He'll never be able to be a preacher. But I believed I could. But I doubted that I could. But I went ahead and planned to be a preacher. You see, I'm saying I believed, I doubted, I kept going, and I dreamed. So I went to Texas University in Arlington, and since I could not speak, make a speech, I took five courses in speech and public speaking. That's all I took. And so after that semester of taking five courses in speech and public speaking, the dean of the college called me to his office, University of Texas in Arlington, Texas, and he said, Mr. Howells, I understand that you took five courses in speech and public speaking because you're going to be a preacher. And I said, that's right. He said, let me give you our report. I've talked to all your professors, and let me give you the report for your progress of the semester. I said, what? I'm quoting. He said, an electrician, maybe. A plumber, perhaps. But a preacher, never. But I believed, I doubted, I kept on going, and I dreamed. I dreamed that someday I'd be doing exactly what I'm doing right here, right now. But I have no right to dream it unless I keep on going. You can't dream and sit still. Your dream will crumble. If you want a dream to come true, you and God become partners, and you become co-laborers with God, and you keep on going, and you keep on believing, and you keep on doubting, and you keep on dreaming, and that's the way a dream becomes reality. I was asked to preach my first sermon, and I failed. I preached for 3 minutes and sat down in failure. Deacon Chairman came by that little church where I preached and said, Mr. Howells, he said, you're a fine young man, but you'll never be a preacher. But I believed. And I doubted. I was halfway on his side. I believed and I doubted. But I kept on going to school. And I kept on having that dream. I believed, I doubted, but I kept on going, and I could picture myself doing exactly what I'm doing right now. Now, they say this, you get yourself a dream, but you work while you dream, and faith is belief, doubt, keep going, and dream. Ms. Howells and I went to East Texas Baptist College. You should have heard my first sermon. I won't go into it. You've heard it before. I won't go into it. Charles Spurgeon wept all day in heaven. Tears fell on the little pulpit there where I was preaching. And people said to me, you give this thing up. Good night. You're a good fellow. And you're a good student, but give this preaching business up. What they didn't know was I had a dream. Now, I had a right to dream because I believed, I doubted, I kept going, and I dreamed. Then, Morris Chapel Baptist Church. Pastor, for 1 year, nobody walked the aisle. Nobody. Not a single person. I won folks to Christ in their homes. I couldn't get anybody to come to church. One entire year, nobody walked the aisle. And somebody said to me, how do you expect to build a church with nobody walking the aisle? And I said, I expect to build it.
But you say, did you want, did you doubt if you could? Yes, I did. You listen carefully. Don't you let your doubt reign in your life. You let your beliefs reign in your life, and you keep on going and dreaming and seeing that which is invisible. In fact, that's what it said about in Hebrews chapter 11. It said they endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's applied to you. You're in the valley. You're in the valley. Keep on believing. Keep on doubting. But keep on going. And see yourself on a mountaintop. You're facing the wall. And you know how you're going to make it. Let me say this. Keep on believing. Keep on doubting. That's the wonderful thing about it. It wouldn't be any fun. It's a big deal, yeah. Dear God, I want it. Yeah, big deal. Like, but the fun is being shocked when you get it. Good night. It happened. I got it. Hey, I got it. I got it. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because you doubt it. But there's nothing wrong with doubting if you believe also and keep on going. You act on the belief. If you're facing the wall, keep going and see yourself a victor. If you can't see your way through, keep on going and see yourself at the finish line. If you have a tough time in school, keep on going. Listen, you folks that drop out of school and dream, you'll never have that dream realized at all. But you're having a tough time. Sure you are. And your young wives here, God bless you, having a tough time. I mean, okay, believe and doubt. I don't see how we can make it. You don't have to see how you can make it. You should keep on going and keep on dreaming.
Having a tough time in school? Keep on going. Keep on dreaming. And see yourself in line down here with your name being called and you have a cap and gown on. You walk up here on this platform and you see Brother Howes, gives you, Dr. Evans calls your name, Brother Howes gives you a diploma. Picture that all the way through in those times of darkness, in those times of doubt. Keep on going, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. You're rearing your children alone. I say this so often, your husband left you for a whore. You've got to be a mother and a father. You get up in the morning, you've got to get breakfast, and you've got to dress the kids and go off to work and come back, and you've got to do the chores at night. You've got to pay the bills. You've got to take care of all the responsibilities. And sometimes you want to throw your hands up in frustration. Say, I can make it. And then say, I don't know for sure if I can make it, but keep on going and keep on dreaming. Dream about the time when those children are grown, successful citizens, dedicated Christians doing the will of God for their lives. In a battle, keep on going and keep on dreaming and see yourself a winner. At the bottom, keep on going and keep on believing. Keep on doubting and see yourself back at the top again. Failing, keep on going. Keep on dreaming and see yourself succeeding again. Mission men, see yourself with a job. Back with your family. Succeeding. But you don't have a right to dream that unless you keep on going. Married college couple? Believe. Doubt. But keep on going. You look into the man who many a time has walked in that door and wondered if it's the last time. But I kept walking in the door. I've got to tell my favorite story right here. You've heard it a dozen times. I've got to tell it because it fits so well. In a distant state, talking to a preacher, well-known preacher. If I called his name, everybody here who's been saved 5 years would know who he is. I was preaching for him. He called me into his office and threw his head on my shoulder. And he said, Brother Howes, I don't think I can go any further. I said, what is it, Doc? He said, my unmarried daughter is pregnant. I got people, hundreds and hundreds, like several thousand people out there. I can't walk out there Sunday morning. My daughter's pregnant.
not married. What can I do?
And I said, I'll tell you what to do. Sunday morning, you get up and you wash up and you dress and you get in your car. You drive to church and you get out of the car and you walk behind the pulpit and you preach. That's what you do. He did. Several years later, I was preaching for the same man. He called me in his office again and said, Brother House, my second daughter is pregnant out of wedlock. Two daughters, illegitimate children to deliver. I couldn't believe it. I said, man, what in the world are you going to do? He began to cry, and through tears he smiled and said, Sunday morning I'm going to get up. I'm going to wash up. I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to get in the car, and I'm going to drive to church, and I'm going to get behind the pulpit, and I'm going to preach. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what faith is all about.
You walk through that door and say, I believe God will help me. And something inside said, I don't know if I can make it or not. Okay, but walk through the door. Stand up behind the pulpit. Keep on going. Don't turn back. Keep your Sunday school class. Keep your bus route. Keep on serving God. Don't sit down. Don't stop. Don't turn back. Keep on going and keep on reading. And one day, your faith will be rewarded like it was for the great servants in the Bible.
I don't know about you, but I want a good report card. I remember when I was a boy in school, Abraham Lincoln was president. But I was a boy in school. I've always been sort of fidgety. I mean, I wasn't a bad boy, but neither was I I wasn't the little angel of the class. There's another word for it, just the opposite of angel. But there are three grades you get when I was in grade school. S was satisfactory, N was non-satisfactory, and F was failure. They had on our report card, did they still have a conduct or deportment or on our report cards? The assistant, you know. How'd you do, by the way, in school? Mrs. Tobluski was my teacher. I never liked Pollock since. She was my teacher. I got an N in conduct. Now, I had made an S, straight S, just like a straight A would be now, all the way through school. And I was in the sixth grade. But I've been pulling Jawbird's pigtails. Jawbird had pigtails that were braided, and they hang down. They would hang down on my desk behind it, and I like to pull her pigtails. If I had a chance, I'd do it again. And I like to wave at my little girlfriend, Jean Muller. I like to wave at Jean. I had some rubber bands that I enjoyed letting them launch missiles across the classroom. And James Alfred Hitt wore suspenders. And I like to tie suspenders around the slats. So when he got up, you'd take the chair with him to the front of the room. Little things like that. Like the kid next to me had his shoes off one day and I threw him out the window. And you know what she did? She gave me an N in conduct. And I was a good boy. While I was asleep, I did that some in class also. I went home that day. I had to face my mama. My mother could cry louder and longer than anybody. My mother, you could hear for blocks. Whoa, 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 whoa. Mother said, did you get your port card today? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, can I see it? I said, you know what they look like. She said, let me see it. I said, you're too busy to be reading this. You got work to do. Let me see the report card. She saw that in conduct. Oh,
I ended up in the penitentiary. Oh.
Worse than that, he ended up north.
Oh, my boy, my son. Where have I failed? Oh, I've tried so hard to be a good brother. Yeah, I got a fallen, wavering boy. I know how the prodigal father felt.
I went to my in the backyard and I said, I'm going to make an S in conduct next time. And for a whole 6 weeks period, I saw my mama looking at my report card. My boy made satisfactory in conduct. I'm so, all that 6 weeks, I saw that. You say, were you tempted? Joy Bird's pigtails never looked so pullable. My girlfriend never looked so adorable. James Alford hit suspenders never looked so expendable. Rubber bands never looked so launchable. Chewing gum never looked so chewable. And my tongue never felt so talkable. But for 6 weeks, I went through the Great Tribulation. Not one time did I pull Joy Bird's pigtails. Not one time did I launch a rocket across the room from a rubber band launching pad. Not one time did I write a note to my little girlfriend, Jean Muller. Not one time did I chew any chewing gum. And then the port card. And I got an S. I took it home. Mama, I have a port card today. She won't see it. She didn't want her heart broken again. And then she looked at my port card. A big smile came across her face. I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. Thank you. I've been dreaming for years about a time which is going to come pretty soon for me. When I see him. And I shall see him face to face. I want him pleased. I want to see his face smile and say, you've been faithful. You've been loyal. I want a good report card. How can I get that good report card? I keep on believing. Yes, I'm going to keep on doubting. But I've decided to keep on going. And not let doubt stop me, but believing propel me. Everybody here today has faith and doubt because doubt is a part of faith. Everybody here has faith and doubt. And you got a choice to make. Are you going to pull back, stop, give up, and obey the doubt, the doubting part of faith? Or are you going to keep on going and keep on going? And keep on going. I can see myself now in the paratroopers running 10 miles without stopping. I can see the All-American football player from Lake Forest, Illinois, falling out over here on the side. And I was a little skinny fella. They called me Slim in those days. And I kept on going. And I said, just one more step. That's the way you finish a 10-mile run. Just one more step. 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 If you'd asked me, can you make it? I'd have said yes. You said, you sure? I'd have said no. But there's one thing I can do. I can look toward that finish line and keep on going. So keep on believing. Keep on doubting. Keep on going. That's faith. And faith is the foundation for hope. And hope is seeing that which you cannot see. So keep looking at that which you cannot see. Only if you keep on going, because it'll be a house without a foundation built on the sand. For faith, which is belief plus doubt plus acting on the belief, is the foundation for your right to dream. You know why I keep going? Because I need the money. I keep going because I got some dreams left. All of my friends have retired or expired. It's like Tom Malone says, all my friends are dead. Everybody I know is dead. Show me 70. I'll be 74 next month. Show me 74-year-old preachers still going, especially the big church. Well, you say, what keeps you going? I got some more dreams. Say, what are your dreams? Spending your money. I got some more dreams. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You say, preacher, at your age, do you have some doubt you can keep on going? Yes, I do. I believe I can keep on going. I wonder if I can keep on going. But bless God, I keep on going and dreaming. And that's the secret to it. For the faith is belief plus doubt plus acting on the belief and keep going. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the foundation on which you can dream and see that which is not yet seen. I'll say it again. I saw myself behind the pulpit before I'd ever preached a sermon. I saw myself with paratroop wings long before I'd ever made a jump. I saw Howells Anderson College before there ever was a campus. I saw this as the world's largest Sunday school before we ever entered the top 10. I saw these bus kids before we had a bus. I saw myself graduating from college before I ever enrolled in college. And I have a right to dream. I have a right to dream. I have a right to dream. What is that right? It's built on a solid foundation. And that foundation is faith. Faith, the foundation for hope. Faith, believing, doubting, but acting on the belief. And that gives me the foundation on which I can say my hope is built on nothing less. Hey, you know, let me ask a question. If you died today and woke up in heaven, would you be a bit surprised? Come on, be honest. William, you make a lot of noise about going to heaven. If you died today and woke up in heaven, you'd say, hey, it was by faith. And that's what makes it so wonderful. And that's what makes victory so wonderful. So God has interjected doubt into faith to make the results more palatable and more enjoyable for us. So young college student, keep on going, keep on dreaming. Young college couple, keep on going and keep on dreaming. Single parent, keep on going and keep on dreaming. Dad having a tough time making ends meet, keep on going and keep on dreaming. Your spouse has a serious illness, keep on going and keep on dreaming. You got burdens and heartaches, keep on going and keep on dreaming. For a dream built on faith is reality. And faith is believing, doubting, but keep going. Would you bow your heads, please?